Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Much appreciation to B. Scott for sitting in for an hour here in loop on a Tuesday. Shout out to who won, in fact, Figgy? Who was the winner of that four pack of tickets?
Juan.
Oh, Juan. Shout out to Juan.
Yeah. We're big talking country music on that one.
That's right. There was a lot of country music talk in the break.
Hot 100%.
And I'm not pointing nobody out, though. I'm going to make sure that I'm not pointing anybody out.
No, of course.
Don't do that. I can see it in your face.
Yeah,
you're about to do that thing.
He's trying to do it.
I had to intercept it.
I knew it.
I had to intercept it.
I got cut off.
Yeah,
man, I'm going to honk my horn on this one.
I had to get my all-pro sting on. Let me
hell
hit that right
quick. Man, I'm trying to drive here.
No, all right.
What's up, show?
All right. What?
You know he had to do it.
I was trying. I thought I got him. I thought I had picked it off. Apparently, the ball was still in there. But no, we are well into draft week, or not draft week, combine week. That'd be something entire. I would have missed an entire month.
Happened?
Draft week.
What happened?
Combine week. And action is getting going on Thursday, mm-hmm. but coaches are talking already. All sorts of coaches. Really interesting stuff coming, and maybe mm-hmm. I'll get you some of those quotes. But D'Amico Ryans is set to talk to the assembled media in probably about
a few minutes, yeah.
10, 15 minutes. And so we'll try and get you some audio, if possible, at least some of the notions that he distills to the media soon. But also with the combine, like, people are there to see the players as well, and the players mm-hmm. matter in a good amount, a good deal. You, John Lopez, got into the college or into the draft prospect spirit of things. And you have some questions about
I do have
this.
Some questions, and it's your fault because you were asking on air and off about, like, you know, players that we're all going to be. We all have different levels of interest and expertise when it comes to the draft, and we all, especially in this industry, we consume a lot of information, starting with Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl and prospects and all that. So, but we haven't really seen these guys on the field yet. We haven't really dug in on the combine field. And we haven't really dug in on players that, you know, we sort of gravitate to.
Yeah, we got
to
get the Underwear Olympics. The Underwear Olympics?
No, the something.
Oh, the Pet Cat. Yeah, Pet Cat. My guy Brian Broaddus, who is a Super Bowl winning scout. Like, that's the phrasing that he uses.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is my pet cat.
Yeah.
Which I do have one, in fact. I don't think I...
But you are you ready to share? Because it's still early, but anyway, I'm warming up to Pet Cat, by the way. It sounds a little more masculine than Camp and Combine Crush or Draft
Crush. Are cats masculine? Like having a cat?
But, you know, I say cat a lot. That's one of the things, like that cat, you know, this cat.
Ah, yeah, like hit cat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm warming up.
Cool cat.
Yeah, yeah, I'm warming up to that. But nevertheless, from what we know now, from all the digging in that we've done so far, all the college football that we've consumed over the last year or so, so I got some questions for you of what we know now. This could change, and maybe we'll ask these questions again as we get closer to the draft and have talked to more people and seen more things, et cetera.
Excellent.
So I'm going to ask you three questions. And it doesn't have to be, there is no right answer, but there's a right answer for you. Like, of all the guys that have been talked about, you know, in this draft and players that we've seen in college football, who scares you? Who scares you as a prospect? I've got a couple names, but go ahead, and I don't know if you have any that
scare in a good way or
scare in a bad way.
Bad way, like stay away from this guy.
Yeah,
Well, I don't even know if I'm fully in stay away from this guy mode on any of these. I think it's more just like, I'm not quite sure what you know what to do with them. And they're actually on the higher side of things. Well, I mean, outside of the obvious ones, which is like the quarterbacks. We talk about Shador, talk about Cam Ward.
I feel like that's obvious. Yeah, yeah.
One of them is actually a name that is frequently mocked to the Texans early on, and that's Tyler Booker. And that shouldn't be, like, that is a dude who played at Alabama, solid weight, solid solid length, but first 2 years at Alabama was relatively inconsistent, and, I mean, he had an All-American season in his junior year, but then also, and this is where mock drafts can be helpful, but then they can also pill you, like, you know, be a little bit poisonous. I've seen him mocked in a lot of various different places as supposedly one of the better interior offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And so I've seen him, you know, go really early in the, like, 10 to teens. I've seen him go, like, be ranked, like, 40 when it comes to, like, players. And so that's a little uncomfortable for me, although, like, that still all feels like a really good player.
Yeah.
So I don't, I guess it's not a huge deal necessarily, but it's like, are you getting the dude who is absolutely going to step in and be a immediate impact player? Or are you getting the guy who's like, oh, you get him, but you can see the process. Yeah. You can see the potential, but he has to work, because that sounds a little bit more like Blake Fisher than a guy that you step in and you go, hey, in a season that we want to win immediately, is this guy going to be someone that we can drop in and feel very, very good about what he does?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the guys. And then the other one is Luther Burden, interestingly enough. Like, I think
the receiver?
Yes. Luther Burden out of Missouri.
Iowa State?
Missouri.
Oh, yeah. Missouri.
And he was the entire offense for them last year. And I do wonder how much of, like, his seeming limitations were because of the limitations of the offense and them just kind of having to get him the ball behind the line. They got him the ball behind the line a ton.
Yeah.
In last year, to the point where it was like, yo, like, we've seen him, in fact, be a really good player downfield. Like, at some point, are we limiting him? Is this going to be cause some level of adverse effects?
Yeah.
He's still regarded as a, like, a true first-round grade guy, so maybe that is just, like, oversized or outsized. But just the idea that, hey, like, what is this actually going to look like when you get him up to speed? I think.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
I'm interested.
Yeah, there's a couple for me. And one, I can't quite put my finger on why he scares me, other than it might be like a Johnny Manziel factor, not in terms of personality.
Yeah, I was going to say, whoa.
Yeah, not personality.
They're going to get us for slander if you're not careful.
Not personality and off-field stuff or whatever. Just like amazing college football player, like undeniably.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Amazing college football player, but is it going to transfer? Cam Scadabo.
Very good.
Cam Scadabo.
Arizona State, running back.
That guy was amazing. He deserved all the accolades. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's going to translate, you know, whether it's speed, size, combination. And you don't have to be a real big guy or a real fast guy to be a successful NFL running back. But something about that dude just doesn't seem to want to translate to me to the NFL.
Well, I mean, but he also, like, he's big and he's a little slow. And we'll see what the actual testing is. Although the testing, again, dudes are prepping for the testing. Like, you're not, the 40-yard dash is not a good
a good especially running back. Of, like, you know, there are guys that run 4.5s that are great.
Right, especially now that we have more of this
4.6.
Now that we have GPS tracking, like, that's a better idea. Like, in the circumstance that you're actually going to be using your speed, what are the speeds that you get up to is probably more telling. But I imagine all of that will still tell you, hey, that man is not particularly super, super duper fast. But, yeah, man, Cam Scadabo, like, you're right. He very much might be one of my favorite types of things in sports, which is just the elite college player. Like, he doesn't have to be a pro. And I feel like I kind of hate the way that college football has gone.
Yeah, they should stand on that.
Where dudes, like, if they are not good pros,
nothing wrong with it.
We don't acknowledge the fact that they were incredible college players. Like, I think the last of those, or maybe this isn't right, but with what feels like the last of the guys that we readily acknowledge that with is Tim Tebow, where he was awful in the pros. We're like, oh, he was so good at Florida. It was
amazing.
And Scadabo very much feels like he profiles kind of like that, where it's like, yo, all the things, all the metrics that you would use to project success at the next level, not necessarily there. He just got grit. He just got that thing, like the want to, the will, the it factor, the X factor. That's then that's what it seems
you
like.
You shouldn't have to apologize for being an amazing college football player, but it's separate when you get to the NFL.
Correct.
The other one, I'm very, very familiar with this guy, and he's been shooting up boards. He dominated at the Senior Bowl, all kinds of run from all the experts. Shamar Stewart, the defensive end from A&M. It has just been dominating, and I look at him, and I've seen this for 3 years, and I'm like, where's the production? You know, he's
a traitsy guy.
He is, the measurable king, you know, and dominated against some, you know, first-round talent in the Senior Bowl. Where's this been? Why is the production not there? You know, there's something about him that is just like, yeah, he's amazing. He's an amazing athlete to watch. I haven't seen it.
Should I be a jerk?
Go ahead.
It's because he was playing at A&M?
No, it wasn't because he was playing at A&M. Because they had, you know, they've had some players.
No, absolutely. They've had very, very good players.
Very recently come to, I'm like, I think this is a guy that just first off the bus, last on. You know? First off the bus, because you want everybody to see the figure that he cuts. But last on, because he just hasn't produced.
Now, one of the things I love about, or actually I say I love, but I actually hate about the draft build-up time is player comps. I think it's just so unfair because, at the high end, this player could be that. Except once you invoke a name, that is what's stuck in people's heads. Even if you were just trying to say one particular thing, it becomes like all-encompassing in a way that almost becomes fair and levels some expectation. That being said, there's some player comps coming in on the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line from the 281. Cam Scadabo, he could be like a Peyton Hillis type, which he might have to fight you to do texter. Like, I feel like that's not fair to him, right? Like, what are you trying to do? You putting the ceiling at Peyton Hillis?
Peyton Hillis type. I think he's a poor man's McCaffrey.
Okay.
And that's not just because they're poor. Well,
yeah, I was about to say, I wonder why.
But I mean, you know, I think he's kind of a poor man.
Did he do a schism right quick? I think he did a schism.
I didn't. I'm just saying that's the type of, because he can catch the ball a little bit too and all that stuff. Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to pivot to.
Which players are overhyped? Like, you're seeing it and you're like, it might be a little bit much for him. Because I got one. I'll get away from the Aggie on Aggie crime and do traditional Aggie on Texas crime. Hate or whatever. I think Quinn Ewers is a little overhyped.
I was kind of thinking about another Texas player, and I was going to say Bond. I feel like, here's the tough part about it. Speed, you can't coach that, right? Like, that speed is going to be useful. I think that, and it's just a little. Like, I feel like he's probably just, it might just be here being in this bubble where a lot of people have a proximity to Texas, And you know, you have that. Mm-hmm. When you have that feel, you might like overrate or whatever. Feels like he's just a little bit less good than we're giving him credit for. But mm-hmm. not that he's not. But yeah, I don't think Quinn. Under what circumstances are you saying Quinn Ewers is overrated? Because is it that same feeling hype. Where it feels like there's a hype?
Yeah.
I don't know that there are many people that are viewing him that highly.
Behind him right now?
He's pretty hyped. Yeah, some people have him, you know, fourth or fifth, which is not necessarily, you know, one or two, but I mean, you know.
Amongst
quarterbacks.
I don't know if that's overhype. I think that's just, hey.
That sounds about right.
There's not very good quarterbacks. Yeah, that's really just, the quarterback landscape has shifted because in previous years, four or five could have you in the first round. Nowadays, you day two, maybe day three, depending.
That's true. That's fair. Well, the other one's a quarterback as well, and he's been gaining traction in the offseason. We'll see once they get going here at the combine, which is why we're talking about this, and that's Dylan Gabriel, the Oregon quarterback. That dude's like 5'9". They list him at 6 foot. He's like 5'9", 5'10".
But you got to get short
height
people, man.
Now. That's crazy, man. Although, to be fair, I'm making jokes. Like that, if there was going to be a place where you're looking at like traits and stuff and like disqualifying people on certain things, hell, how many times do we get to this time of year and everybody's like, hands too small, dog.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can't come
arms
in the club.
Are too long or
hands
too short.
Hands must be this big in order to get into the club, dog. Sorry.
Yeah, and if he is like that short, he got to be, he should have been balling out like on some, what's the guy name that got drafted after before CJ?
Bryce Young?
He got to be on some Bryce Young type of stuff.
Yeah. No, I don't know about
him. He ain't that.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing, especially when you're short, it feels like, or I mean just with any quarterback, but particularly when you're short, you got to have a thing that you win with, right?
Like, yes.
Drew Brees was crazy accurate. And that was the thing that helped him overcome the fact that he was short.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, for the times that he was good, the mobility and the ability to extend plays and then also just like move around to find the throwing windows if you're not able to kind of see over the line. That was the thing that he had elite capabilities at help him make over.
Kyler Murray.
Also that mobility, able to help him make up for the height. I do wonder, what is that thing for Dylan Gabriel?
I don't know
that he has.
I don't know.
Out there.
Now, let's get to something here real quick. We haven't made a decision on, but you're intrigued. You're intrigued by maybe an under-the-radar player. I called it small school because that's generally the type of player.
Well, as soon as you say small school in this draft, everybody's going to say Gray Zabel.
That's the one.
Because he cooked.
He cooked.
At the Senior Bowl. Like he got a lot of love to the point where I don't know that how highly he was on draft boards, but he shot up them. People were all
of a sudden
like,
at the combine now.
My bad. He's so much better because when you're working off of tape, which I think a lot of teams do, the quality and competition that you're going against matters, right? If you want to see them in an NFL context, seeing them play against NFL caliber talent matters. You're not going to get that in North Dakota State. You get that a little bit closer at the Senior Bowl, and it was like, oh, okay, no, this is a real thing. Yeah, he's going to be the guy that you look at there. I don't know that there's another one that comes to mind.
The running back for me from Delaware, because Delaware is one of those small school programs. Marcus Yarns is his name. One of those small school programs that is FCS, but not really. Like, they were always good. Like, kind of like North Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
They're always good. And they probably are sort of like a hybrid between FBS and FCS.
I just realized mine. It is Jalen Royals, wide receiver out of Utah State. I'm not all that certain.
But you're intrigued.
I am very intrigued.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a dude who, I mean, just fluid, although he's, you know, 5'11", so he's not that short. I guess I've been viewing him a little different. But yeah, I'm interested to see exactly what that looks like.
A lot of people are in on the Quinn Ewers thing on the text board.
Like want him in?
No, like he's overhyped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He's so good in terms of numbers and production. But how many times have you been like,
he was the limiting factor on that offense. They had a whole bunch of talent. Like obviously, how many wide receivers are we talking about being potential first, second round grades? From that particular
offense. The line was awesome.
The line was very good. Kelvin Banks Jr. is another guy who's going to be a lot of first round talent that he was playing with, and a coach that you know knows how to draw it up and start. And yeah, you saw how many times it was just like, oh, that's an errant pass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he overthrew that.
Yeah
man. He does not. That's another thing. I feel like with quarterbacks, the new prerequisite, it's no longer nice to have. It is a prerequisite for playing quarterback in the league right now is mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not have it.
Doesn't have it.
So, like, what are you drafting for? Because I don't see it.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. But we're going to find out a lot more. They are on the field on Thursday. Interviews soon. D'Amico pretty much taking the podium right now. We'll have that.
Yeah, waiting on them right now.
It's happening, yeah.
So we're excited to hear from what D'Amico Ryans has to say. In fact, we'll cycle back around to that. later in the program. What interesting things does he have to say? And hopefully he will have some interesting things to say. It'll be real sad if we're at the combine because all these coaches are talking to everybody. Mm-hmm. It'd be sad if we don't get like something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on, D'Amico, show out a little bit.
Give us something.
All right, but coming up next, let's jump into our lunchtime confessions as we are wont to do. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.